All right, children's church is dismissed at this time. And while they are headed out, let me ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me. Now listen to what I'm going to say. The book of Colossians, chapter 2. The book of Colossians, chapter 2. For those of you that may be visiting with us, don't know what's going on, we have spent about 3 months in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Today, we're going to jump to Colossians 2 and kind of wrap up what we looked at in those verses in chapter 1. What we looked at in chapter 1 was the story of creation and the story of the church slash equals the story of Christ. So we came to understand that you don't have a creation without Christ. You don't have the church without Christ. And thus everything's all about the story of Jesus Christ. And Paul kind of wraps that up in a powerful way in chapter 2, particularly verses 6 through 10. Now I'm going to read verses 1 through 10, but I will focus upon verses 6 through 10. My message is called Wrapping It All Up. Wrapping It All Up. And no set of verses does it better than these verses that we will look at today. And it's so important that we get this right. We are living in a world that's trying to more and more live without the presence of God. In a world, we're living in a world that's trying to live more and more without the knowledge of God. We're living in a world that wants to have it all except having God. And the tragedy is, if you start with the world, if you start with culture, if you start with yourself and leave God out of that, then you're starting backwards from the way life all began. Because it didn't start with you. It started with God. Creation came about by God. And when we look at our lives to ask who we are, we must first of all start with who He is. We must start with God. Thus, the story of creation and the story of the church is indeed the story of Christ. And that's the crux of all that we believe and all that matters in our faith. And anything else falls apart. So let me begin reading with Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely what? Christ. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Let me stop for a moment. If you were in college right now, where would they say to you that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge preside? Would they say it would be in Christ? I assure you not. But the Word of God says right here, the Apostle Paul, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, says that all And verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So if you want to find out where wisdom and knowledge presides, where it comes from, where it originated, you must go to the person of Christ. That is true wisdom and knowledge. He says, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine sounding arguments. Michael Fitzhugh and I, we often sit and visit in our office. And Michael has a ministry that a lot of us wouldn't even attempt. And his ministry is to get on the internet and social media and places of that, and where there are arguments that arise up about all the issues of the day, he gets on there and argues for the point of view of Jesus Christ, because he has found that in Christ is all the answers for all the world and for all things. And yet what he finds is that all those people that he gets on and debates with in a Christian way, they think they have the fine-sounding arguments. And if you're not strong in your faith, it sometimes sounds like, boy, they are wise, aren't they? They are somebody. I don't think that I can argue with them. And I thank God that he's taken that ministry on to argue with them and point out their weaknesses and point out the strength of the true argument in Jesus Christ. But oh, we must pray for our young people, because when they go off to college, there are so many fine-sounding arguments against the cause of Christ. But I want you to know that none of them hold up when we get down to the truth and the crux of the matter. Their arguments are full of holes. But let me go ahead and read verse 5. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Now listen to verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies which depend on human tradition and basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Let's pray. Father, your word is absolutely the truth. It is the truth without any mixture of error. It is the truth that will withstand eternity. It is the truth that will withstand all human arguments. And I pray today, dear Heavenly Father, that the truth of these verses would be driven home in our hearts and our minds, that we will be the people of Christ that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. My first point today, wrapping it all up. First of all, we are wrapping it all up by looking at a challenge that is given by Paul. We're wrapping it all up by looking at a challenge that was given by Paul. Now, what's the challenge? The challenge is found in verses 6 and 7. And here is the challenge. Number one, first the challenge, listen to this, is to allow the Lordship of Jesus Christ to have free reign in our lives. First of all, the challenge is to allow the Lordship of Jesus Christ to have free reign in our lives. Listen to what he says in verse 6. So then, just as you received Jesus Christ as what? As Lord, continue to live in Him. Now, I want you to understand something. When you received Jesus Christ, you did not just receive Him as your Savior. You did not just receive Him as someone whose only purpose is to deliver you out of hell and give you assurance of a place in heaven. He did those things. He is your Savior. He did deliver you out of hell and give you an assurance of a home in heaven. But you need to understand something. He also is the Lord of your lives. And that means that every area of your life, in every day of your life, is to allow the Lordship of Jesus Christ to reign supremely in our lives on a daily basis. His Lordship was given to us to reign over our lives, to lead our lives, to be lived out in such a way that the world looks at us and say, I know one thing about you. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I can see it in your life. He reigns freely in your life. He is the Lord of your life. I asked you a question. The question I asked you today is this. Can people look at your life and my life and determine that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives? Does He have such free reign in our lives that His Lordship oozes, so to speak, out of our lives? You see, the Apostle Paul says, if Jesus is going to reign supremely in the world, they need to be able, the world needs to be able to see Christ. And the way the world's going to be able to see Christ is when He is reigning supremely in our lives as Christians. The Lordship of Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in our lives. And I doubt very seriously that we wake up in the morning. I doubt very seriously that we go through the day constantly asking ourselves, am I allowing His Lordship to reign over my life? We need to do that. We need to constantly ask ourselves, if I do this, would it be under His Lordship? Or would it be under my Lordship? If I go to this place, will it be under His Lordship or will it be under my Lordship? If I say this thing I'm about to say, will it be under His Lordship or will it be under my Lordship? You and I need to understand that while we're wrapping this whole thing up, that we are challenged, first of all, to allow the Lordship of Christ to reign over our lives. And second, and really part of that, the second challenge is not only to allow the Lordship of Jesus Christ to reign over our lives, but it is to allow the Lordship of Jesus Christ to be fleshed out of our lives. Listen to what he says there again in verse 6 of our text. So then, he says, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Now that is statement right there, to live in Him is a reference to our conduct. That's what it's talking about. You and I as Christians need to understand that the Lordship of Jesus Christ is to affect the conduct of our lives. I do want to say this, and I want to say this bold and clear and loud, and I want you to hear from me today, that if you call yourself a Christian, but the conduct of your life has never changed from the day that you supposedly gave your life to Jesus Christ, then it is evident to me that most likely you were never saved to begin with, because the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives is to affect the conduct of our lives, how we live our lives out for His glory and honor. Amen? Our speech, our actions, our words, our deeds, when they are fleshed out under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, they will be different than the way they were before we came to Christ. Now, I'm not talking about living perfect lives every moment of the day. Yes, there'll be slips. There'll be times that we fall back into sin. But if we're truly born again, as a whole, the conduct of our life is going to be different. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus is real, and we know He is, and if Jesus lives in your life, if you claim He does, is your conduct different? Is your life different than it was before? You are challenged to live, to flesh out the lordship of His life over you and over me. Third, let me say to you, He challenges us not only to allow the lordship of Jesus Christ to have free reign in our lives. Second, He challenges us not only to flesh out the lordship of Jesus Christ in the conduct of our lives, but third, the challenge is to let the growth of Jesus Christ take place in our lives. Listen to what He says there in verse 6 and 7. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Now here's what He's saying. If you and I are allowing the lordship of Jesus Christ to reign freely in our lives, and we are allowing it to be fleshed out in our lives, then the result of that's going to be that we are going to grow in Christ Jesus in our lives. As we study His Word, as we go to church, as we serve the Lord, as we allow His lordship to be fleshed out in our lives, the result will be that we will be rooted, and growth will take place in our lives in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, this is kind of not necessarily a challenge for you to do. This part is part of the challenge that if you allow the lordship of Jesus Christ to reign in your life, this is what's going to happen. You will be built up and you will grow in your faith in Jesus Christ. It is the result of allowing His lordship to be successful over your lives. How many of you want to be rooted and grow in the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you put your hands up today? Well, let me just share with you. If you want that, then allow His lordship to reign supremely in our lives. And the result of that will be that we will be built up and rooted in the person of Jesus Christ. You know what a lot of my counseling is this. People are fearful. People are concerned. People are, they just don't feel like they can go on. And as I get to counseling with them, I begin to find out that they have lost sight of who Jesus Christ is. They have lost sight of the fact that He is Lord. And if He's Lord, and you're letting Him reign in your life, you'll begin to get a grasp on that. And when difficulties come, you'll say, I don't like these. I wish they weren't here. I wish I didn't have to face them. But blessed be the name of the Lord. I have the Lord. He lives in my life. And I know that somehow we'll get through this because He's Lord. So we need to grasp the importance of allowing the lordship to reign in our lives and flesh out in our conduct. And it will cause us to be rooted and to grow in the person of Jesus Christ. And the end result of that is this. He says, number four, we are challenged to live lives of thanksgiving. Look at what he says there again at the last part of verse 7. I'll just read all of verse 7. He says, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. I'd like to ask us this question. And the question is, how many of you would honestly say that if someone, if you were to ask someone of your life, about your life, what do people hear most from you? Do they hear most from you complaints and nagging and worrisome and concern? Or do they hear more from you rejoicing in Jesus Christ our Lord? Wow. That's a powerful thought, isn't it? To dwell upon. What would they say of Ralph Lee? What would they say of you? What would they say of us? What would they say of Great Swamp Baptist Church? Would they say over at that church, they are so thankful about the Lord Jesus and what He's doing in their life that that's all they can talk about, and they're excited about Him and they love Him and they're rejoicing in Him and they're praising Him and they're thanking God about Him? Or would they say, you know what they do at that church all the time is complain and put down and name call and all of this kind of stuff? You know what the world needs to hear from us? How thankful we are for Jesus. And then that would help the world to understand that Jesus Christ is Lord. Woo! Second, we're wrapping it all up by not only looking at a challenge that Paul gives us, but we're wrapping it all up by looking at a caution that Paul gives us. Paul gives us a caution, a warning, if you would. And that warning is found in verse 8. Look at that with me, if you would, and listen to what it says in verse 8. He said, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies which depend on human traditions and basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." Now, that's a heavy verse. And it is a verse that the scholars can't necessarily get the specifics of, but here's what they all agree upon. Here's what he's cautioning us about. Here's what he's given us a warning about. And there are two cautions, but then let me get a little bit more detailed. The two cautions are this. The first caution is to avoid false teaching. The second caution is to avoid false teachers. Now, the question is, how do we know who's a false teacher, what's false teaching, and who are the false teachers? And here's what he says there. Again, listen. He says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies which depend upon human traditions and basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." And what Paul has done is this. He's put basically in that group of things that we are to avoid, he's just kind of covered the entire basis of everything, philosophies, the what cultures teach him, what society thinks, what the next person comes up with. In other words, what he's doing is just covering all the bases. And here's what he's basically saying is this, is that any kind of teaching, wherever it comes from, that takes away from Jesus Christ, you avoid it altogether. That's what he's saying in a nutshell. I mean, we could get down here and talk about what does he mean by deceptive philosophies and hollow philosophies. What does he mean by human traditions? What does he mean by basic principles of this world? But here's what all he's saying, is that there are a lot of things out there that's working over time to take our hearts and our minds off of Jesus Christ. Anything that does that, avoid it. You say, well, how do I know? Because how many false teachings out there talk about Jesus Christ? Now, wait a minute. How many of them talk about Jesus Christ? A lot of them talk about Jesus Christ. But their talk is full of lies about Jesus Christ. Now you say, well, how do we know which one that is? Well, he's going to give us the answer in the last point of my message today, and it's this. My last point is this. Third, we're wrapping it all up by looking at the completion given by the Apostle Paul. You see, when you understand the completion, then brothers and sisters, you'll be able to avoid all of the false teachings and the false teachers when you understand what the completion is. And what is that completion? Well, let's read verses 9 and 10. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness of Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Woo! There it is. There it is, wrapped up. If you want to avoid every false teaching and every false teacher he challenges you to avoid, then all you got to do is understand verses 9 and 10, and you'll be able to avoid them. It's all about Jesus Christ. What are they teaching about Jesus Christ? Now, a lot of them are just blank, just point blank, are teaching that Jesus Christ doesn't exist. They're just point blank teaching that God is not real. But then others teach about Jesus Christ. What do they teach about Him? He's a good man. He was created. He was an angel. He had a brother by the name of Lucifer or Satan. He's a great human being. He did some great things. And is that good enough for us to accept those kind of teachings? Would we be doing wrong if we come along and we accept those great teachings and those teachers? We would be doing absolutely wrong. Because you see, Jesus is far more than just a good person and a great teacher. Was He that? Go like this. Was He a good person? Was He a great teacher? Did He do some good things? Yeah. But if that's all you believe about Jesus Christ, then you got it altogether wrong. Because if you believe that Jesus Christ was just a good person, if you believe that He did some good things, if you believe He was a good teacher, then you don't understand the person of Jesus Christ, because if that's all you believe, then Jesus Christ is a phony. Wait a minute, preacher, what do you mean? Because if you believe Jesus Christ was created, if you believe that Jesus Christ, if you believe that He had a beginning point, if you believe that Jesus Christ was an angel, if you believe that He was just a good teacher, if you believe that He was just a good man, then you don't understand, because Jesus didn't claim to be any of those things. He claimed to be God. And if He's just a good teacher, then He's not any good. Because that means He would be a liar, because He didn't claim just to be a good teacher. He claimed to be God. Listen to me. How do I avoid false teachings? And how do I avoid false teachers? I understand who Jesus Christ is. And who is Jesus Christ? He is completely God. That's who He is. Listen to what it says again. For in Christ, part of the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Is that what your Bible says? How many of you caught what I said? What does it say? In Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives, how? In bodily form. Here, let me give you my points and we'll close out for this last point. We're wrapping it all up by looking at the completion given by Paul. First, the completion is that Jesus Christ is completely... It's complete, in every way. Jesus Christ is complete in every way. He is complete because he's fully God. All the fullness of the deity dwells in Jesus Christ. He is complete because he is fully God in all forms. Now look at this, folks. I want you to hear something. Let me ask you this question. Is the human body a bad thing? Go like this. No. Y'all won't even go like that when I tell you to go like that. You don't know why you're afraid that that's a trick question, and I'm answering it for you. It's not bad. Has it been affected by sin? Go like that. Yes. But God created it good. Sin has affected it, but God created it good. But listen to this. Jesus Christ, he was not only God before he took upon human flesh, but when he took upon human flesh, he was God then. And when he came out of the grave in his new glorified body, he was God then. He was God in the spirit and God in the body. He's fully God in every form. Amen and hallelujah. Woo! And one day your flesh is going to get all right again. Because sin has been dealt with, it'll be gone, and in Jesus Christ, your body will be good again. How many of you think you need a good body? Yeah. Yes, sir. I heard about a couple, older couple, went to visit this town. They said, what are y'all doing in this town? And they said, well, go up that bridge up there. They got some activity going on, and they were in their 80s, and they went up to this bridge, and they said to the guy up there at the bridge, he said, we were sent up here. We were finding out what happens in this town. We were told to come up this bridge to see if there's some activity we'd be involved in. He said, what do you do? He said, oh, we go bungee jumping. We jump off of this bridge for excitement around here. And the couple got to thinking, well, I don't know. We're a little old. And the wife said, oh, honey, let's try it. Said, that sudden jerk might straighten out some of our wrinkles. So I want to say to you that Jesus Christ is going to straighten out all your wrinkles. He was God in spirit and God in body. He came out of the grave. That was a glorified body. And I want to say to you, he's God not only fully God. He's not only fully God in all forms, but listen to this. He's complete because he's God over all beings. Listen to what it says. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. You see, any religion that teaches that Jesus Christ is just one of the powers, it's a false teaching. He's not one of the powers. He's over all the powers. He's not one of the angels. He created the angels. He is complete because he's God fully. He's God in all forms. And he's God over all beings. And here's the conclusion of it. Because he's complete, in Jesus Christ you are complete. You see, that's what he said right there in verse 10. Not only is Jesus Christ complete, but when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because he's complete, you become complete in Jesus Christ. I want to say to you something. I don't lack a thing because I have Jesus. Now, I'm not there in my practice altogether, moving in that direction, but I have everything I need to have because there ain't no more to get than Jesus Christ. He is fully God. Do you know Him? Does He reign supremely in your life? Have you trusted Him? Is your conduct the kind of conduct that displays the Lordship of Jesus Christ? If not, then I challenge you today. Come to Christ and let His Lordship reign. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, there's nothing more to say than Jesus is all in all. And for us to try to find that completion in any other place other than Jesus is to come up empty-handed every time. Whether it's in the pleasures of this world, whether it's in the philosophies of this world, whether it's the latest fad of this world, whether it's in the materials of this world, it will always fall short. But in Jesus Christ, it is always complete. And I pray, Father, for anyone in this room that has never come to Christ, that You will reveal that to them. And may this be the day that they come into the fullness of Your fullness and the completion of Your completion, that they might know that they might know that it's going to be okay, because in Christ they have it all. And then for Your people, Father, who know that they know, but they have not allowed Your Lordship to reign, may it be the day that they say, Lord, may Your Lordship not just be a word that is uttered, may it be an action that's carried out in my life. Lord, have Your will and way this invitation. And to You will be all the glory and honor. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand.
We're going to sing hymn number 296. 296, Jesus is Lord of all.
Kim's asked if she could share just a moment. Can you hand that to her, please? One other way. There you go.
Yeah, I'm struggling this morning. And my parents and me, we lost a 41-year-old man that we knew yesterday. And he was one that I had gone to on those Sunday mornings that I do outreach. But I don't know if I did enough.
Bless your Lord.
And the message this morning just so touched me. And we need to go beyond these walls.
Amen.
People are dying. I don't know his spiritual status. If Jesus is Lord of your life, and he is, how great he is.
Amen.
And he loves us. We need to show him that we love him by sharing beyond these walls.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
And not to those who are just lost and That's dying right. without him, but to those who have strayed. Just thank you for hearing me.
Amen. Amen. Let's give her a round of applause on that, if you didn't. We don't know how much longer anyone has in life, and we need to be fleshing that lordship out now so that as many people can hear the gospel message. And so her challenge to us is take the lordship of Jesus outside these walls and help others to see Jesus in us. Thank you for sharing, Kim. This evening at 6 o'clock, we have our 6 o'clock time together and study the Bible and pray together and just very informal time. That's at 6 o'clock. Remember, Wednesday nights we have, won't have much longer, but we still have for about a month meals at 6 o'clock, and then we have our Bible study for all ages at 7. I challenge you to come out. We have a great time on Wednesday night in all the areas of our church. So we look forward to seeing you then. Thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. And let me just share, don't forget about signing up about the VBS for the meal and for working in VBS as you leave out the foyer area. And get excited about what God is doing here at Great Swamp Baptist Church. Okay? Let's have our closing prayer. And you have a great day in Jesus.
Father, we just thank you for these words. We thank you for the message that Pastor Ralph gave us. I just pray that as we leave here, we will take Jesus with us, and everybody outside can see Jesus in our actions, in our words, and we can reach this community. Father, be with us as we go our separate ways. Watch over and guide each and every one of us. Bring us back at the next point of time. I just ask in Jesus' name, amen.